everybody to another day of trading on the floor of Dynasty Wall Street. Just Russ and John here today to use Dynasty Trade Calculator and all of its calculating and ranking goodness to help you get a grasp on some Dynasty trade values to make some trades. We are less than a month from the NFL draft, so we are less than a month from your rookie drafts, most likely. So things are picking up, things are heating up, things are getting ready. And I am going to jump in first with quarterbacks, which a conversation I've seen in an equivalent to this 101 pick, which is getting more and more interesting to me throughout the, you know, time of us talking about either side of it, is Justin Herbert or the 101. And I've had this conversation with a lot of people, and I've never walked away feeling better about any of it. It's always more just like, all right. So John, if you were presented in a startup draft where you were on the clock and the only two choices you could make were Justin Herbert or the 101, which would you take?
Well, first I would ask how you wrangled me into doing another draft-based startup, because I've sworn off of those.
Because I own your soul, John.
That's true. That's true. you do. So, I mean, I'm taking the 101. I said it last week when we talked about the 101, and Justin Herbert was my line, and the 101 is just above that. Yeah. Look, if Keenan Allen would have stayed as a Charger and DJ Moore was a Charger, then I would want Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert, as we talked about last week, has Quentin Johnston. Like, I don't feel good with his weapons. I don't know what the offense is going to bring. As much as I like Justin Herbert, go ahead and give me Caleb Williams at this point. Give me the Bears. Oh, God, the Bears. Give me the weapons that the Bears have, I should say. Yeah. I like DJ Moore. I love Keenan Allen. Let's go Bears.
Yeah, and it's weird because there are absolutely positions where talent matters over situation. And
these two are both very talented.
Like, yes, that's the thing. Like, again, I don't watch tape, especially of college, but like, I know how talented Justin Herbert is and how much he's done with considerably underwhelming talent around him. But usually Keenan Allen is healthy in there, and that's a big deal, which isn't going to happen right now. And while Josh Palmer's fine, and while I'm really like assuming at this point they're drafting a wide receiver at their top pick, it's still a rookie that you're still hoping. And I'm finding it hard to put the known talent of Justin Herbert over what the upside of Caleb Williams can be, especially with the weapons he has. Quarterback is usually one of those positions where talent would matter a little more than situation. But I don't see the Chargers situation changing enough where he can elevate everyone around them enough for Justin Herbert to push himself into that top tier of quarterbacks, which is all he has left to go at this point, because he's worth up there. And if anything else, if we're just talking about drafting to trade, the 101 is a lot easier. You'll have a much bigger audience in trade talks for the 101 than you will for a specific player like Justin Herbert, especially. So in the calculator, Herbert is 52.6. The 101 is 48. But I think the answer is the 101. And I know this is pretty much the conversation we ended up with last week, but it's still stuck in my head, so I needed to have it again.
One thing we didn't mention last week that I think is worth mentioning is, obviously, because that's why I'm going to mention it, is Caleb Williams is a little more insulated at this point. He's younger. He's going to be a rookie. Let's say they have literally the exact same stat lines in 2024, and they're both okay. Like, they have a mid stat line. They come out to be QB 12 and 13. Like, okay. Which one is going to be more valuable a year from now if they have the exact same stat lines?
I got to be honest. Well, the answer is Caleb Williams, but but also, I do need to say that I say plenty of things, even though they're not worth mentioning. Though I guess that is a big difference between you and me. I think Justin Herbert has shown enough that I don't think his value would drop that much by a QB12 finish, especially if something happens along the lines.
You know how quickly people react. If he doesn't have like great weapons this year and he has a a mid to down year, it's going to be pretty quickly that people don't have him as right outside that top tier.
Yeah, I'll be shouting from the rooftops. They're going to bring in another wide receiver this offseason. It'll happen. He'll be fine. But I get that that is me being logical and maybe a little optimistic, where that may not be the overall affect of the Dynasty community. So that's that is a very fair point. It was worth mentioning, John.
Yeah, I think his value is way more insulated.
Again, you're absolutely right. Like I said, the answer is Caleb Williams, but part of me is just hoping that Justin Herbert's value wouldn't crash if he were to finish as the QB12.
I don't think it would crash, but I think the people would stop seeing him as a potential to get to that top tier. Whereas if Caleb Williams finishes at QB12, people are going to look at him and go, he's the one that can make the jump.
Yes, that is very.
Look at what's happened. The kind of like Trevor Lawrence, his value has dropped. Tua's value dropped. But these guys haven't been like bad. No. They've been okay. Like if Justin Herbert is okay, I bet you his value drops.
I hate that you convinced me that you're right for many reasons.
I know it.
It's the worst.
I know you hate that.
Now, I put a list together that really, I think, doesn't help at all, because I feel like we did talk about all of them last week. But so the three players I have are Joe Burrow, Anthony Richardson, and Justin Herbert. And I feel like your order is just going to be Burrow, Herbert, Richardson.
Mine is
as well. But my real question is, let me say this first. I assume that Herbert is closer to Burrow for you than he is to Richardson?
Yeah.
Okay. And how big is that gap? And I know it's a lot of this is because you're lower on Richardson, but
the gap from Burrow to Herbert.
Well,
like
Burrow to Herbert and then Herbert to Richardson.
So I would need just a second to switch from Burrow to Herbert. If you gave me Herbert in a second, I'd probably be interested in switching there.
Okay.
If I have Richardson or if I have Herbert and you want to give me Richardson, you're probably going to have to come with a first. It might be the 112. That would be enough. But I'm going to need a first. It could be next year's first. It could be the 2026 first. I'm going to need a first in order to go down from Herbert to Richardson. I'm not as anti-Richardson as Travis is. But I will say Travis's evaluations definitely affect my valuations.
Yes.
Because Travis is good at it. So I've trusted him for a very long time and it's been pretty helpful. So I do trust what he says when he says that he does not like Anthony Richardson. And that's a big mark against Richardson for me, to the point where I'd rather just have that safety. I know what Herbert is. I'm not 100% sure I know what Richardson is. I think I know what he can be, but I also think I know what he can't be sometimes.
Yeah, and that's the real.
Like, that's the scary part. So I'd rather just not take the risk at this position. I don't mind taking risks at running back, where I don't care anyways. I don't mind taking risks at wide receiver, where I think the upside is just always hugely important. Tight end, very similar to running back. I don't mind taking the risk. Quarterbacks, especially this. I mean, this is my quarterback one level. Like, we're not looking at my quarterback two. Quarterback two, I'll take more risks on. My quarterback one, I want that easy lock in as a starter. I don't have to question what kind of day this player is going to have. I don't have to question durability. I don't have to question anything. I just want them in my lineup every single week. Make it easy on me.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with everything you said, except you went a little too far for me on that Richardson plus a first thing. I'm not 26 first, or just that was too far.
Any first is greater than a second. I'll take a 27 first over a 24 second.
Okay, so I agree with everything. Like I said, I agree with everything you said, pretty much. So we can move on. All right, so I don't remember what you're doing anymore. So your turn.
I've got wide receiver.
Go for it.
So speaking of where the 101 is going to be, it's not Keenan Allen now. Let's talk DJ Moore. Like, I have always liked DJ Moore. Yes. I have spent time being disappointed by DJ Moore. I have spent time being happy with DJ Moore. DJ Moore is somebody that people have really, I think, changed their values on, like 10 times. I still like him. I was shocked to find what his value was in the calculator. 17.1, Russ. That is equal to the 1.10. The 110. So we're out of that top tier of 7, maybe 8, if you put McCarthy in there. We are in that second wide receiver window. So you have DJ Moore versus second wide receiver window. What do you want to do here?
I hate that DJ Moore is still like 22 years old, because it would be so great to be able to say, well, if I'm rebuilding, then give me.
He is 26, but still, yes, he is forever. Yes, DJ Moore is forever young. He is always as old as Juju is.
Which is 22 years old. But all of that being said, I my answer is still kind of the same. Like, if I'm competing, I earned that 110. I think I pretty easily give that up for DJ Moore, because we got our question answered. Like, we just saw DJ Moore produce really, really well with his best quarterback to date, who is now the backup somewhere. So, like, if Caleb Williams comes in and is a decimal of what we think he can be, he'll easily be the best quarterback DJ Moore has played with. So he should be that very strong high-end wide receiver two with wide receiver one, not the with being a wide receiver one upside, which again, that's what DJ Moore kind of always has been, and why he's kept around that wide receiver 16 to 18 area rankings wise for everyone, no matter what was going on. But now we've seen that that's where he belongs. That's what he's doing. So yeah, I give up a pretty decent dart throw of a rookie pick for something that, again, 26, you're going to get 2 years before his value tanks because of age. So you'll get your money's worth out of him points and value wise.
I'm giving up the 110 easily.
Yeah.
And I'm expecting to just put DJ Moore on my roster, and he can just sit there for the rest of his career.
He can
become my new Keenan Allen, and he can learn directly from Keenan Allen how to just produce in my lineup every single week as a too old wide receiver. And he's like you said, he is not there yet. He is years away from it. So by the time he becomes the too old wide receiver, Keenan will taught him very well how to keep producing in my fantasy lineups. Yeah. So very easy for me to take DJ Moore.
I love that symmetry of becoming the next Keenan Allen by learning. It was beautiful. I loved it.
I mean, that's clearly what they're going to talk about in the locker room is,
yeah,
how do you keep producing on John Bosch's fantasy lineups?
Yeah.
I mean, I assume that's the conversation, right?
Yeah. I mean, I texted Keenan right as he was heading over there.
Smart move. Make sure he gets DJ Moore in line.
Yep.
I appreciate that. All right. So we've got a list. We've got DJ Moore, Jaden Reed, Debo, and Rashee Rice, who we're going to talk about in a little in the next segment. We're going to have a little Rashee Rice discussion, but just from a ranking standpoint, how do you rank these four?
All right, I'm going to need you to say those names again.
DJ Moore, Jaden Reed, Debo Samuel, Rashee Rice.
All right, well, I'm putting DJ Moore on the top. And I hate you a little bit because you stole some of my names for my next talk, except I purposely didn't put Rice on it. So you almost stole all three of them. Actually, right now, my order is how you listed. And it's really gonna, like, I'm fine looking silly if this Rashee Rice stuff turns into nothing. But DJ Moore, Jaden Reed, Debo Samuel, Rashee Rice. And honestly, in the long run, I might regret putting Debo third instead of second, but I really like Jaden Reed.
I have DJ Moore tier break.
Yes. Yes.
Easily. Fair. He's a, like, I would flip any of these other three for DJ Moore right now, one for one, if I could. And there's probably some places you can. So places you have Jaden Reed and you hit on him, you're contending and that team's not, that's the perfect opportunity.
Yep.
To go turn Jaden Reed into DJ Moore. All right. So my second, I have Debo above Jaden Reed. They're really, really close.
Yeah.
And if I want to be an ageist, I would probably put Jaden Reed above Debo. So I don't really have an argument there because usually I am an ageist. So yep. but Debo just feels, I don't, I like Debo a little bit more. I still like that offense. I don't have 100% confidence in Green Bay just yet.
Yep.
I'm really close. I'm really, really close. But I trust Debo on a week-to-week starting basis just a little bit more right now. So that's why he's two. I have Rashee Rice four. I'm not saying get out of him for a second. I actually think it's going to be closer to nothing's going to happen to him for this.
It's starting to seem like it, unless something really big swings. That,
from what I've heard, there's, you know, no serious injuries. Nobody died. There is video, but it's not video that has the impact on the NFL that sometimes the NFL is affected by. Yes. Like, while there is video of very dangerous and stupid driving, there is not video of him like literally directly harming someone, which that's the kind of video that ends up being a little more damning in the NFL, whether it should be or not. That just is the case. So I think he's going to end up being probably more on the okay side. I will say, go follow Drew Davenport. He is the he is Twitter legal expert, and I know and like Drew. But he does very good breakdowns of these. His main point has been wait and see at this point. There is a variety of outcomes. A lot of it does seem to be based on injuries and the results of those, things like that. But at least it sounds like Rice is cooperating at this point. So while there's no statement out there except for a non-statement statement from his lawyer, like, without knowing details, I'm not out on him. Like, I'm not ditching him for a second. We're going to go over some trades here in just a minute. But if I could switch him to DJ Moore, I would feel real comfortable doing that. Like, real comfortable. And that's that before this incident, that's definitely not the case. I was very happy to have Rashee Rice. But there's clearly some red flags here and reasons for concern. Do you want me to just, since we're on Ray Rice, you want me to go over? I pulled some trades.
I love they just threw Ray Rice out there.
Did I say Ray Rice? I thought I said Rashee Rice. Oh, my bad. Definitely not Ray Rice.
Let's hear.
One's better than the other.
Yeah, let's just keep going. What trades do you got?
All right, so Rashee Rice in the 207 for Devonta Smith in the 212.
Oh, give me Devonta.
This was easy for me, too. And I'm on the same side as you.
Again, it also just happened to be a player I really, really like. But also, I still have Devonta a little above Rashee Rice in general. So, I don't care about close seconds near each other. Give me the guy I feel comfortable with, especially now.
Yep. I would have taken Devonta Smith over Rashee Rice last week.
Yes.
I would still do it. And the 207 and 212, I mean, those are equal to me. I would prefer the 207, but
that's
good chance the player that you can get a 207 might be there at 212. So I don't ever let that break the bank. This is one where I would smash giving up to get Rashee Rice. And I've seen this on Twitter. People, you know, screenshotting their trades that they've made, the 207 and the 307.
Yeah. So in one of the Trade Addicts leagues, someone put into the group chat, come and get Rashee Rice. And I responded right away, I wish I had the guts to make this gamble, but I just don't. And then the trade went through of Rashee Rice for the 205, 403, and 405. And I was like, so all right, I do have the guts for that gamble. I didn't realize that you were that okay. And this was Sunday. So this was more news had more favorable news, if you can call it favorable. But again, not less damning. Stuff.
Yeah. Let's call it less damning.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it. It has come out since then. But yeah, I mean, I'll give up a mid-second for the fact that there's a good chance that nothing at this point, nothing might even come of any of this. And you're going to get a dude that's worth probably a mid first when all of this is forgotten.
I think there's probably some charges. There might be a civil case that we never hear the actual result of. And there might be like a 4-game suspension. But like,
I mean, civil, run, that's like, not. I don't think the NFL. I think I read something or saw something that the NFL has never really acted on civil cases outcomes at all. So like, if that's the case, that won't matter at all to the NFL. And unfortunately, that's what we have to talk about because it hurts.
What affects player value?
Too much, and we're here to talk about player value. So yeah, honestly, and again, like John said, worst case at this point is you're looking at a couple of games, and what's 3 or 4 games to a 22-year-old wide receiver? Like,
yep.
Like if you think he's out of the league or something, then yeah, take the 205, and that's on you. But like,
I think the bigger concern is if you think this is a pattern of like immaturity carrying over. And it's a red flag that it's that he's not going to shape up during his NFL career. I think I can understand that concern and why somebody who might believe that's going to be how it goes wants to just get out of him. I'm taking that risk in the mid second. I'm taking that risk at any second round pick.
I'll take that risk, especially at the 205, 207 area. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's a very easy risk for me to take. Don't be afraid to send that offer. Like, there is a reason. Russ was afraid to send that offer and regrets not sending it.
Yep.
I have already not gotten around to sending it in a couple of weeks because I just was like, oh, gosh, I kind of forgot about that league. I should have just gone and offered in literally every single league.
Yeah.
Because I've seen him moved. And it is the mid-second seems to be a pretty common number that's getting it done. It might only happen, you know, 25, 30% of the time. But
it happens once. It's worth it.
Yep. If it's right once, it's right 60% of the time. It's right once or all the time. Nah, there's 60% some
60% of the time, it works every time.
There it is. I knew you'd know it. All right. This one got me a little bit. The 109 in Trey Palmer. So the 109.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm taking the pick.
Like, I'll take the pick. Yeah. Because here's the thing. Like, that's not super far off what the value of Rashee Rice really is. Correct. Like, for me, Rashee Rice is in that Odunze Bowers area. And now we added a little bit of risk with this issue going on. So, sure, he drops one or two picks, in which case there's going to be a wide receiver I really like outside of that top tier, especially if McCarthy pushes his way into that top tier, which now it's just seeming like is going to happen. It seems like he's getting drafted super early. And if he does, he's going to get drafted earlier in rookie drafts. So I'll probably take the 109 over Rice right now and get rid of the headache.
Yeah. I mean, right here, we'd be looking at like probably Brian Thomas, Xavier Worthy, Troy Franklin.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm good with any one of those.
Like, chances are they're all going to be round one wide receivers in the NFL. So yeah, you'll feel fine with that.
Then there was an interesting one, no picks involved. Rashee Rice and Russell Wilson or Tua.
Oh. Man, I don't know. That's tough.
That was a lot of dead air. Make sure you don't go back and you're going to think you need to edit right here. For me, it's Tua pretty easily here.
Yeah, I know. That really is the answer, but like, man. This is a little bit of me just not wanting to give up on Russell Wilson. That's absolutely all this is, because the answer is Tua. The answer absolutely is Tua. Even if, I mean, we've moved on past the point that even however good that offense is and will be, he's not going to be a top tier quarterback. Like, it's not in the cards for Tua, and that's fine. But yeah, he's good enough and young enough and going to get extended and all of that stuff. And Russell Wilson could get benched at some point because Justin Fields is there. I'm not ready to call Justin Fields Trey Lance yet, so I still am going to convince myself that he has a chance to start at some point. And again, Rashee Rice is nice. He really is, but he's no Justin Jefferson. So it's not going to – moving Rice to get that upgrade to Tua is absolutely worth it.
Yeah, that's where I stand. It's such a big jump from Russell Wilson to Tua for me that I am happy to pay – Rashee Rice as the cost to get
there. Once I put it in that perspective, it was absolutely, you're right. Yeah. All right.
That's a trade I probably would have done before the incident.
Yeah. There's a good chance I would have done that.
So
this doesn't change that. Yeah. All right. So I want to have a quick little tight end talk.
All right.
Because I've been seeing a lot of trades involving David Njoku.
He's not a little tight end, he's a large dude.
I would like to have a little talk about a large tight end, John.
There you go.
Why do I talk to you?
I don't know.
All right. So, I mean, a lot of the David Njoku things, it's a lot of back and forth. Oh, he's been in the league for 7 years and now he's finally doing something. His quarterback has changed 3 times in the past season. Who's going to be his quarterback now? And I don't know if I super care, because I have a very big trouble of letting go of players I like. Like, I'll make excuses to no ends. And then even if it does take them 5 years to start hitting, once they do, I'm like, oh, I knew it all along. It was just a certain something that needed to happen. And Njoku has been there. Like, before Watson was in town, Njoku was still starting to do pretty well. Deshaun came into town and Flacco came into town, and it was pretty much a tight end's dream. And now who knows what's going on with Watson, and they signed Jameis Winston. And apparently Winston has people worried when it comes to him with a tight end, because he's never really used one extensively. And so I blame him for O.J. Howard's flaming out, speaking of Njoku draft class. But David Njoku right now in a tight end premium league is worth the 110, speaking of. It was a little higher than I was hoping, but it's still, I don't think you're getting David Njoku for a second in a super flex tight end premium league. So like 110, 112, I guess, isn't really the biggest jump in the world. But what's your thoughts between Njoku and the 110?
Yeah, that pick took me by surprise. That was definitely higher than I was expecting. So I will easily take that pick. Remember that little group of wide receivers we just talked about?
Yeah.
That rookie wide receiver trio? I want any of those over Njoku. I like Njoku. I would love to get him for the 201.
Yeah.
You're right. It's probably not going to happen, but I'm probably not investing the 110, the 111, or the 112. Maybe the 112, depending on like who, if I'm on the clock and every person that I want is gone, and I feel like I'm taking somebody that I would be taking in a second round anyways, then I might be looking at David Njoku, especially if like that person's coming up to get a running back. That's great. Maybe they come up, they can close out, get that first running back off the board. Congratulations to them. I walk out with an Njoku and a better second round pick or something like that.
Yep.
I feel pretty good about that. But yeah, I'm taking the 110 pretty easily here.
Yeah, me too. And my delineation for this is, how strongly do I feel about Njoku being a positional advantage? And while I do like Njoku, I like what he's been doing, he's not in that top tier of tight ends. He's not, I'm still putting Kelsey up there. I don't care, even though we'll talk about him a little later. You know, he's not Kelsey, Andrews, Laporta. You know, he's not scoring these points that make you feel different enough. But he is someone, he's not like Dallas Goedert. He's not one of those, like, maybe, well, I mean, I used to be able to say Freiermuth here, but he was terrible last year. Like, those guys that you plug in and you feel fine. Like, you don't feel gross plugging him in. Like, you put in Njoku and you feel good. He's going to score you some points, but he's not a difference maker. If I felt he was a difference maker, I'd give up the 110. But he's one of those guys I would like to have on my team if I don't have that top tier guy. Because, yeah, like John said, it's one of those, like, you want him in your lineup. He will score well, but he's not going to outscore the field by 7 points per game like some of those top tier tight ends will.
If I'm investing in tight end, I'm either paying way more and getting somebody I like a lot more, or I'm just not investing in it.
Exactly.
And I'm just throwing out whoever I can.
Well, see, here's the thing. Like, if it was in that 201 area, like, I mean, I'll start saying names because it doesn't matter because I'm about to go to the list anyway. Like Evan Engram, what I did 2 years ago was, like, whenever I couldn't get Travis Kelce, I went to Evan Engram because he was a player that was worth in that second area who I liked. So like Njoku is around there now, but I found a lot of people very worried about Njoku and not sold on him that I was just kind of curious where to see what you thought. So I have two lists, one of which is tight ends, one of which is other players. The tight end list is Njoku, Evan Engram, Travis Kelce, and Cole Kmet.
I can tell you my bottom, that the Kmet doesn't even belong on this list.
The only reason I still put him there is that maybe getting having that quarterback situation fixed and known, maybe you were excited about Caleb enough to not just be down on
Kmet. No, because as I said, Caleb Williams is going to do nothing but throw to Keenan Allen and new Keenan Allen.
All right, well, I haven't texted Caleb yet, so just calm down on that one.
That is all he's going to do is throw to those two players over and over. And that's what they're going to call him, Keenan Allen and new Keenan Allen. It's going to be awesome. Kmet, number four.
I deleted him off the list. Forget he existed.
Large tier break. I still want Kelsey. At this level, I'm not planning my tight end of the future. I am planning my tight end for 2024. Njoku and Ingram probably give me more years. Mm-hmm. But I think Kelsey can give me one bigger year that makes me not care about those future years.
Agree.
So I'm going to go Kelsey. I'll go Ingram and then Njoku. I like Trevor Lawrence more. So Ingram is still catching balls from him, right?
Yep.
So I am going to stick there. I think that's the tiebreaker. I like the Jacksonville offense more than the Cleveland offense. So that, other than that, those two are pretty similar to me.
Yeah.
And if you're in a total teardown rebuild, like if somebody wants to give you Kelsey for one of these, that makes sense to me. I get that. That's not the way that I approach almost any of my teams.
No. But I agree with you. My order is the same. And mostly the same reasons. I mean, I decidedly have Ingram above just because I like what I've seen since getting to Jacksonville, and that's not changing. So I'm keeping him above him. Like, coming into the league, I would have picked Njoku, and if it was, like you said, if it wasn't Trevor Lawrence, it was someone else, and if we knew it was like Joe Flacco coming in for another year, maybe I would move Njoku, but that's a whole lot of ifs, ands, or buts, so... Yeah, Kelsey still number one, and Ingram two, and Njoku three. And I picked three regular players who were very close ranked in the calculator. And you talked about two of them already. It's Deebo Samuel, Jaden Reed, and Josh Jacobs.
So Deebo and Jaden Reed are definitely above Njoku. I'm going to put Josh Jacobs above him too. How would I compare Jacobs to the two wide receivers? That's going to be completely roster dependent. If I have no running back and I need one, then I'll probably take Jacobs. Otherwise, I'm looking for that wide receiver. I'd much rather have the wide receiver. But Njoku is at the bottom of this list.
See, what's funny is because he's not in the bottom of this list on the calculator. I think Jaden Reed was the only one that was actually above him. But it's really funny where I feel like I greatly disagree with the pick value that he's put in. But when I looked at the list of players, I'm like, oh, maybe I do agree with his valuation, just maybe not on the picks evaluation. Because you're right. I agree. I think Njoku is on the bottom of this list. And especially because I do still think Josh Jacobs is going to score a lot of fantasy points this year on that team.
And Josh Jacobs, I mean, he's going to be a player that you can probably recover that value at the end of the year, if you need to. Like, if you're out of it and your horrible deadline's coming and there's some competitor there, they should be shopping their late first for a rest of the year running back and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's a move that you're probably not going to take on too much risk if you're willing to then get out of Josh Jacobs right after you get into him. Like, you know, if you are the person that's willing to trade and then trade that player away, you're in a real safe spot to probably flip him because he is going to be scoring this year.
Yeah, I agree. Well, we agreed too much on this episode. All right. Well, we're going to have to close down the floor of Dynasty Wall Street on this. This can't keep going, even though there's nothing left to talk about. Russ Fisher, Dynasty Outhouse, John Bosch at John Bosch FF, Travis May at FF_Travis M isn't here, but we still love him.